Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this meeting to order. The requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
I'm here. Here.
Donald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Megan.
Here.
Doyle.
Here.
Okay, first up, we have our minutes of the regular meeting of July 6, 2010.
Move the minutes for July 6, 2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Yeah, correction on the first page.
Yep.
I think our clerk already caught that.
Okay. Catch those?
No.
You have me as being present.
Okay.
And Mayor McDonald led everyone in the flag salute. Mayor McDonald read the following statement. It was Deputy Mayor Housel. Any other corrections to the minutes?
Yes. Page 10, just for the record, under the rent collection, that it was Councilor Magliba that asked the manager to put the question on the voter. And then after his explanation, Councilor Boyle said that he was all for the voter.
There's such
drastic feedback. I can't do anything to turn down. That's best I can do.
Okay, well, that's better because
that's
all it was.
Thank you.
I got you.
Okay, anything else? On page 2, Mrs. Capodianco from Pickle Avenue has been questioning the sewer bill. As part of the audience portion.
Are there any other corrections? Hearing no more, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have council appearances tonight. First off, we have Charles Van Dursen from the Washington Emergency Squad.
Good afternoon. My name is Charles Van Dursen. I'm the captain of the Washington Emergency Squad. And what I'm going to do is just have a short little presentation to tell you where we've been, where we are now, and what some of our plans are in the future. First, I'd like to thank the mayor, council, and the people of the borough of Washington for their continued support. The donations that we get allow the squad to deliver quality emergency services to both the borough and surrounding areas. Donation from the borough itself frees the citizens of the borough and employees of the borough the burden of ambulance transportation bills not covered by their insurance or for those that lack insurance coverage. We've heard from people that we've transported that they're glad to hear that that is not going to be a burden to them. Besides having their medical emergency, which is enough most of the time, they don't have the burden of an extra bill that that they shouldn't be seeing. Our four ambulances, heavy rescue, and a first responder vehicle respond to an average of 1,300 to 1,500 calls per year. Our responses include medical emergencies, motor vehicle accidents, and at times with those motor vehicle accidents, extrication of victims that are trapped. Fire responses for those injured, and fire department support to include rehab and emergency lighting for them. Local event standbys, including Washington Celebrates America, the Soapbox Derby, which goes on for a couple Saturdays, and also the fireworks coverage, which, by the way, if, that was very good this year.
Thank you.
And also football games that are throughout the fall, whether they're through the high school, junior varsity, freshman varsity, and also the local teams, both in the borough and the township. I counted that up one time. One year, I think we covered a total of about 35 football games within the course of one fall. Currently, our membership consists of 35 volunteers covering six-hour duty crews from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. weekdays, and 6 p.m. Friday through 6 a.m. Monday, with a minimum of two EMTs. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., the first ambulance is covered by two EMTs on duty at the building, and this allows our overall response time for first calls to average just a few minutes. For those that listen to the scanner, I'm sure that you hear most other squads going out, you know, first or second time, and they're not out as fast as we are for first calls. Second calls, you know, sometimes during the daytime we have an issue, but we're also one of the local, or a few local squads, to have a crew to respond to second calls. With a few times we're even able to get our third and fourth ambulance in service. During the 4th of July event this year, just before the fireworks, we handled one motor vehicle accident, and just after the fireworks, we handled a second motor vehicle accident. With those two motor vehicle accidents alone, we signed off, or the people signed off. There were 15 people altogether. Would have made for a little hairy event during the evening. Current active members are all a minimum of New Jersey EMT and CPR certified, with several holding advanced certification in either extrication or instructing or other certifications. All our ambulances are inspected and licensed by the New Jersey Department of Health Office of EMS. Besides annual inspections, the state also performs spot inspections either at our quarters or at hospitals. For the future, we are in constant search of new members. All basic EMT training is provided at no cost by the state. All continuing education costs to keep the current EMTs current with their certification are no longer paid by the state and are now being paid by the squad. CPR and AED training is also provided by the squad. We have also expanded our membership to include associate members. Associate categories include those for EMS, rescue, and non-EMS. Associate for EMS and rescue may live locally, be an EMT or firefighter for a career or paid service in, you know, such as Newark, Elizabeth, New York City, wherever they are, as long as they live here. But they might not have the time for active membership, but they have the training that that we need. Non-EMS associates are those that have office or maintenance skills and do not wish to be involved in EMS, but want to help in their community. So we have a space for them. Anyone who's interested in joining the squad, applications are available online through our website. It's 83rescue.org. We are in the process of researching our alternatives for our current quarters, which are somewhat outdated and we have outgrown. New car construction is forcing us to update some of our extrication equipment. And also to replace one ambulance over the next 3 or 4 years will probably cost about $140,000. We have no current estimates on that, but that's about what quality good ambulances are costing. Thank you for the chance to give this update. Please feel free to contact the squad officers should you have any further questions.
Thank you, sir. Any member of council have questions for Mr. Van Dorsen? Mr. Boyle.
Charlie, I have a question. You have 35 active members now. What would be a full squad amount?
A full squad would be enough people to have two EMTs on an ambulance, on two ambulances throughout the day and night and weekend. Just because we have 35 active members doesn't mean that, you know, there are times when we only have two active members in town due to family responsibilities, work responsibilities. They're just not available for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Thank you.
But just to further that, the duty crews that we have now, which are six-hour duty crews, assure that there's at least a two-person, two EMT crew on for any calls, any first calls.
Anyone else?
Charlie, the new regulations that are proposed, they're really going to affect you, or you're pretty well covered?
Which?
The new EMT requirements and...
We're already licensed by the state, so we have to follow those requirements that they're talking about for the rest of the state. So many other volunteer squads are not licensed by the state, they're licensed by the First Aid Council. We're licensed by the state, so we have to follow their rules already. So we've been in compliance for that over the last 3 or 4 years.
Charlie, a quick question. The ambulance calls that you make that don't have insurance, isn't that covered under Medicaid, or do you bill Medicaid?
Not necessarily. If they have to have Medicaid, Medicare, in order for those people to be billed.
Right.
There's many people that are out of work that maybe don't qualify right away for any of the government-sponsored insurance, who just don't have insurance. One reassuring part there is that as long as they know that they're not going to have a bill collector hassling them, they're not going to try to ignore their chest pain for an extra day or two.
You said you're going to look to replace a truck ambulance in the next few years. How are you gearing towards getting donations and stuff to sort of offset those costs?
We haven't started looking, so I don't have estimates for that yet. I just went by what we've paid in the past for that. But normally what we do is set aside $20,000 or $30,000 a year for the purpose of, in 5 years, say, purchasing an ambulance. The ambulances that we have now, they are good quality ambulances, so keeping them 10 years is not an issue.
So you're being proactive in the sense of setting aside money for when you're going to need it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Van Dersen, you had me sign a letter about a vehicle that you wanted to borrow.
That was
from Port Authority, because another one needed some extensive work.
That was our rescue truck is currently out of service. The heavy rescue is currently out of service. What I was looking for was a kind of like a loaner, not necessarily to replace that truck, but right. Just to put equipment on.
Do we expect our truck to be back in service shortly?
It was estimated to be out 3 months by the company, so I was thinking 3 to 4 months, and it's already been 1 month.
Okay.
But the one ambulance that we have is equipped as a light rescue, mm-hmm. And we also have agreements with local squads and fire departments to help us out when we need it.
Good. Thank you. Anything else from anybody?
Okay. Thank you for the service you provide.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Due to some scheduling conflicts, the fire department chief is not going to be able to be here tonight, or any representative from their department. Does anybody have any issues with the information that was provided that we need to invite him for another meeting?
No information. I mean, my only concern was why it took 2 months.
So we don't need to reschedule him?
Not for that.
No, the information provided was adequate and to the point.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay, well, we will move on. Next we have Ms. Cerami from the BID is going to do a little pocket park presentation for us.
Good evening. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council, and residents of Washington Borough. My name is Sandy Cerami. I'm the Executive Director of the Washington Borough Business Improvement District. And here with me this evening are Board President Monica Hamburger, Treasurer Marion Braden, and our grant consultant, Sarah McCullis. In a few moments, we will be making a PowerPoint presentation of the proposed pocket park at 44 East Washington Avenue, the lot of the former Antique Center and Washington Hardware. We are seeking Council's partnership in applying for the Warren County Open Space Preservation Grant to fund the land acquisition. The bid and the borough have successfully worked together to provide over $6 million in physical improvements since our inception in 2003. The funding or assessments collected in this time were only $1,365,000, so that is quite a nice payoff for our community and borough. These fees or assessments are only on the commercial properties, so there is no cost to the residents of our community. Only the business properties pay the assessment. With no further ado, we would like you to view the presentation, and we can answer any questions you may have afterwards.
For the park.
Thank you for the time and opportunity to share our presentation, and thank you to Council and Mayor for their continued support and commitment in our partnership. We hope you share our pride and enthusiasm for this project and the future of Washington Borough.
I don't have any questions for Ms. Ramey.
I have a bunch. And actually, there's just so everybody understands, the Pocket Park also adds an additional 7 spaces to the existing parking lot. Some of the questions I have, Sandy, you probably have answers to these. Do we have the current owners, do they have clear title yet? Do we know that they have clear title to the property? Because that seems to have been in the past with the Phillies and everything else, that's always been an issue that's cropped up.
There was only 2 minor items, which would be settled at the closing, because one of them was the payoff of the construction loan.
Right. So essentially, we do have clear title. Okay.
Yes, we absolutely investigated that, yes.
Okay. The land is currently assessed at $45,000, but we're looking for a $100,000 grant. I think it's the Warren County MCCTFC to purchase the land.
Yes.
My question is, why would they approve a $100,000 grant based on the appraisal value rather than its assessed value? If the assessed value is 45 and the appraisal is 100.
Well, when was the assessment made? Because the appraisal is current.
I don't know. That I don't know.
Appraisal was a year ago.
That's only 1 year? The appraisal is current. That's what I'm saying. The appraisal is current, but the assessed value might not necessarily be current.
Okay.
So they were in possession of the information was provided.
Okay. And they didn't have a question about that?
No, they didn't. Okay. They didn't question the land purchase price at all.
That's fine.
At this point, there have not been any questions or issues regarding that.
Okay. When will the grant application be submitted, assuming everything's approved here today? And have they told you when the funding decision would be made?
The final decision is the okay by the freeholders in December.
December.
And actually, the grant committee is going to review it on Wednesday,
right.
And then I'll get back to the whole council, and then hopefully we can get on the next agenda.
Next one. And then I would assume that based on that, the response from the freeholders, the closing would happen probably within 30 days, I would think.
I would think so, yeah.
I spoke with DEP. Michael Daly, because I had some questions about the hazardous remediation grant that you're applying for. I think it's a 75% matching. It's called a hazardous discharge site remediation grant.
Actually, remediations are at 75%. Assessments are at 100%.
Okay. So you're actually applying for 2 grants. One is to purchase the property, and one grant is to remediate the site.
One grant is the hazardous discharge site remediation grant, which we applied just for the assessment. Did not apply for the remediation because the actual cost of the remediation will be minor. The cost of administering the grant and tying that to the construction of the parking lot would have been long and arduous.
Mm-hmm.
So since it would maybe amount to $10,000, the cost-benefit analysis was weighed, and we went with just the assessment.
So that's the $44,300?
Yes, it is.
Now, he told me that this would be considered a tier three type of applications. So they basically look at it only from the date that it's received. And he said that basically there's only him and one other reviewer, so that they would look at a 6 to 9 month backlog before they would give you an answer. So does that put us potentially into the middle of next year?
Well, we are hoping to use our affiliations to move ourselves up in the application review, and it has been viewed as a top priority, as well as the fact that there is a specific fund designated for 501c3s, which we are. So it actually kind of put it in line, because the grant application should be in the beginning of August, which would put us 6 months out around the timing of the open space preservation grant in December. So about the same timing, December and January, is what we're hoping for.
So let's assume, for argument's sake, based on timeline, the freeholders get back to you in December and say, yes, you get $100,000. Then you get the answer from DEP and they decline you, just hypothetical. They're not going to give you the $44,000. What happens then to the remediation of the site? Because that estimate was $15,000 to $20,000 to remediate that site. The owners aren't going to care at that point, because they've already had the title transfer. I'm assuming that would happen. So what happens to the remediation? Who pays for that, assuming that you don't get the second grant?
At that point, we would. The owners are well aware that we're applying for the hazardous discharge site remediation grant, and they would fully expect to be asked to fund part of the remediation.
So you would hold closing on the property until you got an answer on the discharge grant?
I don't think Sandy can answer that.
At this time, correct.
Furthermore, we did not meet with the individual that you referred to at the DDP. We met with the head of the New Jersey DDP.
Okay.
So, and of course, in the interim, we would be giving constant updates as to where we stand in the process, and not, you know, there's not going to be an action made outside of what we have discussed and agreed with the Park Committee,
right,
and the Grant Committee, and Council, obviously.
Okay. So we're looking at a probably December, January timeframe before we get answers based on both of those grants.
Yes, sir.
So we would move forward after that.
Yes.
That's pretty much all I have. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Just to clarify with the hazardous discharge site remediation grant, so you're doing the simultaneous submission for that. So that's, I got confused, that you're going to apply for $44,300. That's the name of the grant, but you're going to use it for assessment purposes, not the actual remediation?
Correct. That's just what it's called.
That's just what it's called?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. And then, with us being the pass-through and the lead entity, are we purchasing the property, or the bid purchasing the property? How does that actual purchase work?
It was explained to me that you would receive the check and we would be strictly a pass-through agency, and
okay,
it would be given to the bid to purchase the property. At no point does the borough take title to the land.
Okay. That's all I had.
I have a question. On Councilwoman Gleba's question to you, the borough is a pass-through entity, but the way I read the application is if the project falls through, the borough is responsible to the county for the cost.
You read that in the grant and terms agreement?
In the application, yes.
In the application?
In the terms and conditions.
Okay.
My other question is this. You said that you're applying for a grant for $44,300 to do the remediation.
Yes.
And that if the DEP grant does not come through, you said the property owners will pay part.
Well, we are hoping to negotiate with them and have spoken with them to that effect. We
Who
can't
pays the other part?
Either the bid's internal budget, or realize that we're also going to be requiring additional funding, so we have other funding opportunities in place that we're researching right now. A very likely source is the Route 57 Scenic Byway, and there's also possibility of additional money from USDA. There are fundraisers that we can run, and there have been several local borough-based organizations that have intimated that they would see this as a priority for donations. So.
Because one of the original caveats when the purchase of the park was that any remediation would be done before the purchase takes place?
Yes. Unfortunately, there is no way to really do a remediation without doing a construction, because you would be increasing triple, like the cost of your construction. What happens is they're tied into a simultaneous effort similar to what we did at the parking lot, right? The parking lot construction and remediation were done simultaneously. The excavation and the grading, you have to grade the level, is part of removing the first few feet of topsoil, right? And then the paving is part, and the landscaping is part of installing the impervious surface.
However, you missed one important part. We received a letter from the DEP before we started the remediation. Dick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they would hold the borough harmless for the any contaminants that were found there. Am I correct? We had a basically, when we got it, we had a clear title because of that.
You're talking about the parking lot?
The main parking lot, yes.
There, you know, there was outside environmental counsel on this, as I recall. And I don't recall all the details on that, sir, to be honest with you. I know that we had, there was a question, let's see, I'm trying to think, this is on the parking lot. There was a no further action letter, is that what you're talking about, right? Yeah, I think that was obtained with respect to the parking lot.
We're still waiting for the no further action letter, so I don't know when it could have been attained previously. I'm not understanding
the
question.
On the parking lot or on this site?
No, on the parking lot.
Okay.
We received the no further action letter on the parking lot. But we're asking for clearance on the pocket.
When did you? I'm sorry. When was that received? I wasn't aware of that.
That was received before we even started any work over there.
No. We did not receive it.
Not you, the borough did.
If you have it, we would like to have that in order to close our records. Furthermore, I don't understand your line of questioning in all due respect. The fact is that if the bid is purchasing the property and is going through, as we discussed last summer, to do the remediation before we turn it back over to the borough, I don't understand what the issue is. The bid, if we purchase the property, we are prepared to do the remediation.
When this was brought up, and I believe the original motion included the fact that the remediation had to be done before the borough would be on the hook for the purchase of that property through the original grant that you had with the bank.
That's all finished.
Right, but the original motion still stands, as far as I know, that the land cannot be purchased until the remediation is done.
Terry,
well,
if I could,
that would,
if
I can interrupt.
I don't
There's not
going to
be any purchase from the borough of that park.
At all.
We're not going to spend anything.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just, the original agreement was that part of the loan that we had gotten from
the USDA
for $409,000 was supposed to pay for the original parking lot. The original parking lot came in at a lower cost. The parking lot was completed, which left us about a little over $100,000 in accessible money, so to speak.
Line of credit.
Yes.
So we had a deadline that we had to meet in order to use that extra $100,000. So the majority of this council decided that they were going to use that money to purchase the pocket park.
Yes.
And go through a similar remediation construction project as we did with the main parking lot. At which time there would be a maintenance agreement, and then 5 years hence, when the main parking lot was turned over, assuming there was a caveat that the work that was design work, the pavers, the stage, all of those types of things, we were supposed to take possession of a completed park. That was
Absolutely. Understood.
And then at that time, you know, post 5 years or however long it took, that's when the borough would retain ownership of that property. All of that went out the window when the USDA loan expired.
It did.
So at that point, the Business Improvement District, and this is more for the audience, just because everybody here pretty much understands, the Business Improvement District sought
another funding source.
Funding sources
and a solution
from grants, and you know, we had periodically met. the Pocket Park Committee and the bid, worked on design, worked on those types of things, but the bid solely secured alternate funding, so to speak. So that's where we are today. So the original conceptual agreements of how we were going to take ownership of the park and all of that is no longer relevant, so everybody understands that.
But the agreement ultimately, when we do take back the land...
But we're not taking back the land.
But you would.
Well, eventually, in 5 years or so, they're going to hand it over
when
to
it's completed, right.
When it's completed.
After the remediation.
And, right. But we will not take over that land until remediation and the
correct.
Park is completed.
Correct.
And you will never have title to it or risk at any point.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify. There was a question about remediation prior to acquisition of acquiring land, purchasing the land. The funding that the bid has applied for through DEP, you must be a 501c3 to apply for that funding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it must be purchased prior to being able to qualify for that money. So that's where that switch takes place.
We have to show proof of intent to purchase, and we already have a contract. So that is why we are fully in compliance with the DEP's some special 501c3 $5 million fund that they have.
And I just wanted to comment also to Councilman Housel about as far as the borough's liability. According to our redevelopment attorney and expert, we are a separate incorporated tax ID number. And so, therefore, it stands that you are not responsible for any debt. You're not responsible for any of our liabilities, debts, or risks.
The other point to clarify was that what we had addressed with the council, with the MCC TSC, was that the bid would be named as the responsible party within that grant agreement and not the borough. So to answer his question as to, you know, whether or not if this fell through, if there were issues and the money needed to be returned, the bid would be the responsible party, not the borough.
I'll review it.
It was, as a matter of fact, just to really put it right on the table, it was at the insistence of the executive director who, in speaking with the board, insisted that it be inserted in the minutes that it was clear that the grant would be a pass-through through the borough only with full intention that all of the monies go to the bid for the purchase of the proposed Pocket Park.
And then just to point out, that is their general grant agreement. The addendums that we have discussed and what was noted in their public record of their meetings will be added to the grant agreement that we, if
okay,
we
approve.
Okay,
because I was going to say, tell me what page. It's not in it.
No, it's not. That was
contract.
An actionable item from their minutes.
Okay.
Of that.
Because I didn't see it in here either. Okay.
No, it was clarification.
Okay.
It was actually clarified.
Okay. Just for when I meet the grant committee next week, I wanted to be able to tell them, but I won't have it, so that's okay.
I can ask to try to get a copy.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I didn't want to be referring to something that is not in there.
It's not. That is their general grant agreement, and then they tailor-make each of them to each person. You know, and
okay.
We are a unique situation for them. However, it has been done in at least two instances
okay.
before.
Councilman Gleyba, just out of curiosity, what is your agenda for the grants committee with this in front of us? Are you going to come back and recommend to the council any type of decision that you're comfortable with?
I'll tell you if we approve it as a committee. And if we had any further questions, I'd reach out to Sandy.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. We'll see you back on August 6th.
Thank you very much.
First meeting in August. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. We have some correspondence also from the bid for some proposed parking lot hours.
I move correspondence for the parking lot.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this?
I do, Mayor.
Certainly, Mr. Boyle.
Just out of curiosity, in our ordinance, we name all our parking lots as plazas. What's this thing called? Midtown Plaza? The one we're talking about downtown? Does that have a name?
Well, it's actually kind of confusing because the original Midtown Plaza was like behind where Visiting Homemakers are. But
but many people have referred to that. But we were talking about doing this for all of the borough parking lots, not just that one.
Well, if we're going to change an ordinance, we have to actually identify that particular parcel of parking lot.
Can we do it by block and lot, though? Does it have to be named in the
ordinance? Well, all the other ones are named as something Plaza.
About
Councilman.
What we can do is, rather than talk about the specifics, I would talk about it in generalities and let our attorney deal with what has to be in the ordinance or what amendments have to be made.
Well, if you have a name or you want to identify it, it will help us, you know, at the time we do the ordinance. So, you know, I think it makes sense to identify it.
Or we could do it for, I think you were looking for us to do it for all of our parking lots.
Right, that's what I was trying to understand. I think.
I know, I agree.
But you want each of them to have a name.
We still have to name that parking area. Be it something Plaza, you know, whatever.
A name like that is block and lot.
It could be either way. I mean, as long as somebody reading the ordinance is going to know what it is so they understand what the rules are, that's the important thing.
I think it's been generally accepted, as you said, at Midtown Plaza, unless anybody thinks that still gets confused with the Broad Street area. Mm-hmm. Midtown Plaza?
You don't have
feeling. I just got one more. For this ordinance, the only concern I have, it just may be, is about the borough parking area with the overnight, things of that nature. That's kind of isolated. I don't know if that should be separate from what we're trying to accomplish here, because is that really
that closes
for customers or residents?
I think that's a very good point.
That's the only one that I thought might have happened to be maybe highlighted.
Do you think this would be wise to go to the streets committee?
Nah.
To review it?
I'm just joking.
I don't know. I kind of agree with you, though. I'm thinking that it might not be best to include the borough park. Yeah. In this, I'm thinking about the vehicles hanging out from 11 to 3.
Right, and you know that's supposed to
AM. Close. What's going on?
Yeah, that's supposed to close at dark unless there's something going on there.
Exactly right. Okay. And that's kind of, I mean, if we don't touch that, because it's already in the ordinance, and separate that from the rest of the plazas, that might make it, you know.
Or even future parking lots.
Or even future parking lots, if so be it.
The question I have, Pat, if you're finished,
yeah.
If we approve this and the ordinance is changed from 6 a.m. to 3 a.m.
It's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's a typographical error.
Okay, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Oh.
What happened? How do we fix the signs? How do we change the existing signs? Do they have the parking hours today? I don't remember off the top of my head if the signs currently have the old.
They do not. It says permit required for overnight
parking.
So they don't,
none of the signs in any of the parking
lots? Well, the new ones don't, but we really felt that there was a need to address some of those old ones anyway.
Okay, so I guess what I'm asking is, if this goes forward, does the Business Improvement District pay for the correction, so to speak, on any of the signs so that it's clearly stated what the hours are?
I would believe most of our board is clear that the borough will not have funds available for the sign changes.
Okay. I'm all for the uniformity, so that's not an issue with me.
Did that really answer the question? I know your board is aware.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, the bid expects to pay for the signs.
Okay.
We paid for them to begin with, so we would pay to change any existing ones. Plus, we've already are working on a 2011 budget, which will be presented to you in many months, and we've already put something in there for signage. However, that hasn't been reviewed, voted on, and approved by our full board, so that's why I'm hesitant to state it to you directly as such.
That's fair enough.
We have some cash left for this year and more planned for next year.
Is there any signage now posting the hours on any of the parking lots?
Yes.
Is there?
There are on the old signs, not on the new signs. Not on the new signs. The intention with the new signs compared to the old ones is to keep them very simple. Very simple. Not in anything permanent, like a lot of verbiage. It was just supposed to be T, parking. There have been some suggestions. Right now it says permit required for overnight parking, and many people have commented they'd like to see that verbiage changed.
See, I thought this
people don't have an impression that a permit's required.
Initially, I thought this was just being really done just as a convenience so police wouldn't have to patrol controlled the parking lot because the issue of the parking hours were different from what the street parking was.
No, can I respond to that, John? In reality, we've had several businesses that are open.
Right, yes, that's what I understand, right.
And they had their patrons, they had their staff, people ticketed. And then there was a huge flurry, like 20 tickets in 2 days. And then as we were discussing it and thinking it out through to the future, we're hoping to get a new restaurant in town soon. And we could envision that there would be patrons that would be leaving after 11 and so on, and then maybe even more restaurants in the future.
And the movie theater.
So we wanted to, and to make it easier for the police department also, so that they could just check all the parking lots at one time.
That's right. So that's why we're going to require additional signage, I think.
Well, there's signs that need to be replaced.
Okay, yeah,
Broad Street is just an updating of the additional signs, so it's Midtown Plaza and the Farmers Market. We're going to have to, we still haven't installed signs on Allegher yet.
Okay.
So we need Allegher and then whatever happens behind Gibson's Gym at the DPW site. So those will require 2 new signs and the other 3 will be alterations.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not against it. I'm just wondering if it was actually necessary to post the new hours and so on. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Sandy, can I ask you a question?
No, I'm not sure. I was just trying to clear something up.
I'm sorry, John.
That's okay. Go ahead.
You have a change to Section 8540, which is parking restrictions during snow removal periods.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that ordinance section provides that when a snow emergency is declared, you can't park. And what you folks have suggested that you eliminate the phrase that refers to the declaration of the snow emergency and you replace it with the phrase after snow has fallen and the accumulation is such that it covers the street or alley. Now, I think you're going to get some resistance from the police on that particular language, and maybe the public also, because it's not very clear when it is that you're not supposed to park.
So you're saying we do need to post the hours on the sign?
Well, no. I mean, in terms of this ordinance now is changing when it is that you can't park legally when there is a snow emergency. And the current trigger is when someone declares a snow emergency. All right? I'm not saying that's good or bad. But you're changing it to the language that says after snow has fallen and the accumulation is such that it covers any street or alley. Do you see where that is? It's actually under section 1 and 2 of your proposal.
You guys didn't change it.
This is yours.
This isn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This isn't our proposal.
Oh,
that's your verbiage.
They provided it.
That's what you did.
Oh, they provided it. I see what you got. I'm
I was
sorry.
Providing what the old ordinance was. You actually drafted this one.
Mayor Van Derzen's name on there, but.
No. They're not asking anything about
you're
the ordinance.
You're challenging yourself.
I really try to get the municipal parking lot in line.
Sorry,
from the borough of Washington.
Just to keep your mouth shut.
Although I do like the suggestion that no emergency is a lot cleaner and simpler.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, so.
Can we revert to that?
No.
They make the decision.
I don't know. Are you serious? Pick one at a time here. It's, the original concern here with the bid is well received. You're absolutely right.
So do we have to do a roll call about the memorialized council's decision to go through with this? Like,
to amend an ordinance?
I
think what we first need is to have everything reviewed.
Yeah.
I know Councilman Boyle wasn't too thrilled with the idea, at least jokingly, to begin with, of going to the streets committee. But maybe have them review it, have the attorney review it, the manager review it, the police department. Perhaps even the emergency squad and the fire department to see if they have any issues whatsoever with it, and that way everybody has a chance to comment on it before we move forward with it.
Could we have a drop dead date so that this doesn't drag on for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Like say like 30,
we certainly could.
Like maybe second meeting in August or something like that? All of these parties have to weigh in, and if they don't weigh in, then
how about if we go first off, is anybody objectionable to that suggestion to have it reviewed by everybody? As I mentioned there.
No.
Okay, we're good with that.
I want to say I think it's a waste of time, but the council as a whole thinks it should go through. Yes, but I don't think it should be dragged out for longer than a 30-day period.
Okay.
I think it would be good to have the police review it, though, and everything. So I would say along Victor, you know, second meeting in August.
Well, how about this? We'll get it out to everybody. They have a 30-day review period, and they can come back to us with those suggestions. We'll have it for our second meeting in August, and we can move forward from there.
Okay.
So I have two questions. Number one, the streets, it's not going to affect the streets where there is no parking overnight, correct?
Correct.
And if we're going to amend the ordinance, then we should look at, if we wanted to state snow emergency, do it all at one time so we don't have to pay twice for the re-advertisement.
Correct.
So I think we should do it. One fell swoop.
Problem with snow emergency. The parking lot that that's going to affect is the parking lot that's also going to be used by the residents that are going to be living in those condos.
They're actually all full now.
What?
They're all full now.
Okay.
As
rented.
So which means those people that have assigned parking spots in that parking lot, if you're going to declare that you can't park in those lots in the snow emergency.
They actually do not have assigned parking lots. They have
permits
to
park anywhere.
Any parking lot in town. It's not like a specific to that
lot.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying, if you're going to declare a snow emergency, you can't park in the parking lots until it's, I guess, cleared, right? Where are these people supposed to park?
Well, wouldn't that be the case regardless of the hours?
No, the people that are in the condos that have the permits, they can park
the
overnight in the
parking lot. It would be the case no matter what.
Right, regardless of what the hours are, it's still the case. Now it's less of a case for them because they only have 3 hours to figure out what to do.
Oh, so they can't park overnight?
No, they can.
They can.
But if there's a snow emergency even today,
right,
they're technically not allowed to park there.
They go to the borough lots. They're allowed to park in the borough lots. The road department cleans the streets, and then they're supposed to come out of the parking lot, and so they can do the parking lot.
Okay.
That's the way it works.
So
I don't
know how that. Any motion on memorialized here?
Just, I guess, you want to make the motion to move forward and have all the respective parties review and come back in 30 days.
Okay. Someone like to make the motion to have those parties review this document and have it come back in 30 days?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you.
Good job. At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests that is not already on the agenda.
I've got several questions. Rudy Bechera, 191 Broad Street. That note on the front door and in various places in the hall downstairs stating that zoning applications are not being accepted until further notice. That is stupid. Okay? You're blocking, you're preventing people from putting up pools, fences, doing additions, whatever. I'd like to know what you're going to do about it tomorrow, because I've gotten calls at home, people asking me, can this, you know, be done? Meaning, can you not accept zoning applications? By state statute, you have to. So I want to know.
Right now,
maybe you can hear from the master, but I'm not familiar with the master.
Right now, there's no one qualified to issue zoning permits. I can assign anyone as a zoning officer. That doesn't make them qualified to review and approve permits. We're waiting for the final civil service list for replacement positions.
So if somebody wants to put up a pool fence, they can't do it?
That's correct. Actually, we haven't had any complaints when we've explained why to residents.
Well, actually, I've gotten a number of complaints, and there's one behind us, okay? Work was done without a zoning permit. Adjacent to this property.
Well, if work's going to be done without a permit, it's going to be done whether there's a zoning officer or not. People aren't going to wait until the position's filled to violate the law. Right now, there is no one qualified to review and approve permits.
So
the list created.
What
by
are you going to do about it?
We've been telling people the situation, and like I said, I've received no complaints on it. people are actually very willing to work with us.
And you're subject to waiting until the civil service
correct.
Sends you the list.
The civil service sent us the list. We're interviewing for the replacements now.
That's unacceptable to me because somebody's got to be doing it.
No
next, what are you doing about the grass?
Actually, I spoke with the DPW last week. We're scheduling that next week to start.
Belvedere Avenue, South Lincoln is atrocious.
We have a list of probably 15 or 20 properties. Again, same thing. There's no one qualified right now to issue citations, either in code or in zoning.
You're capable of issuing that.
I've never done that before.
You're capable. You have the capability. You have the ability to do it.
I'm not going to do it improperly. Either it's going to be done correctly or it's not going to be done. And I cannot sit here and say that I can properly act as a code enforcement officer or zoning officer. It's a disservice to do it half-assed.
It's a disservice to do nothing.
Excuse me.
Disservice to do nothing.
So the DPW cuts the grass and then a lien is put on the title holder, so to speak.
Whoever owns the property, correct?
A lien will be put on them?
Yes. Yeah.
They weren't last year.
I understand that. A lot of things didn't happen last year. They're going to happen this year.
Well, it should have been done last year. Next, Mr. McDonald, your office, mayor's office. Are you on the Borough Land Network?
Yes.
Why do you have a separate bill then?
A separate bill?
Why, you know, for your office.
That has nothing to do with the Land Network.
Do you have internet access?
Yes.
And, but it comes out as a separate bill for your office?
No.
Okay. What about the TV?
TV was left there by the detective.
So why do you need a TV?
Don't need one.
Okay.
But it's there.
Because it's there doesn't mean that we have to pay for it.
You don't pay for it. You pay for the electricity for it when I use it, that's all.
We don't pay for it?
No.
Cable TV service.
Not $4.99 a month?
No, sir.
Digital starter, $4.99.
That's the box.
The digital converter, remote control, $4.99 a month for 2 months. Why are we paying for it?
That's the cable box, not the service. That's what that is.
So why are we paying for? Why are the residents paying for a cable box?
I wasn't aware we were.
Okay. You are now. What are we going to do about it?
Give me time.
Okay.
See you at the next meeting.
I'll be back.
I knew you would.
I don't like your color in your office.
Didn't ask you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Grace McGinnis, and I live at 57 Grand Avenue. I won't be long because you have important business, but I bought a yard sale permit the other day, and on that permit now are these rules, and one of the rules is that you cannot put a sign, the sign needs to measure 12 by 12. This sign measures 12 by 9, but the yard sale permit says 12 by 12. That's a very small sign to be put out for people to see as they drive by. And since my yard sale is in a couple weeks, I just wanted to know, you know, about enforcing these things. I'm not really happy about even the $5 I had to pay because I looked at my tax bill. I pay $9,000 taxes every year now here. And this year we trimmed the borough trees that were hanging down so that people couldn't walk up the sidewalk. We're also cleaning up out in the street a little bit because the sweeper has not been around in at least a month. And I know it just doesn't seem fair. Other communities don't charge for yard sales. I'm not running a business.
I believe most communities do, but I have to tell you honestly, I haven't checked that in a while.
I don't know which ones do and which ones don't.
Mr. Cushing, do any of the other communities you represent, do you know if they charge for yard sales?
For a permit?
Yes.
I'm not aware of that.
One way or another.
I'm not aware one way or another.
Okay. I just wanted to air that a little bit. And okay. And I know I did post signs in my yard for a church yard sale, and they were bigger than 12 by 12. But maybe they don't know, because I don't think they probably had to buy a permit, so maybe they don't know what the rules were on there.
Possible. Okay.
That's all.
Thank you very much.
I'm Joyce Pyle, and I live at 88 West Stewart Street.
What can I do for you, Mrs. Pyle?
Well, this has been bothering me since I started coming to these meetings. I wish I had been here in November, but I wasn't. In 1969, the Borough of Washington became a council manager, a government. And we had five managers up to Alan Fisher, including him. And we always followed the code books and the ordinances that were set out, and nobody ever questioned the requirements for a manager and the council, but especially for the manager, to work in the Borough of Washington. And then I got this paper that he had submitted an employment contract, and he got an automatic raise, 4% every year for 4 years, ability to telecommute, does not have to live in the borough, flexible hours, does not have to, when he gets this paid, when the paid leave, I'm not going to even get into that part. And I'm wondering, you know, he drew up his own contract. And I'm wondering, do any of you people ever go in for a job and have the person that is talking to you, the employment personnel, say, well, I'll tell you what, if you're interested in this job, would you please draw up your own job description? Have any of you ever experienced that? I mean, I have never heard of such a thing. And I was surprised also that this vote for to accept his contract and all was done. I would assume that that would be such a very important thing for the Borough of Washington residents and taxpayers that there should have been a full council here to vote for this. I mean, that's a very important job in
was
the
town. Was there not a full council?
No.
No.
Oh, was Mrs. Wojtkowski missing at that point?
No, I was here.
You're not Wojtkowski.
Yeah, but you were here.
I was here. I was on the phone.
You were here.
Or were absent from that meeting?
I see.
I think something like that should be postponed when it's that important until all the people are here. I mean, this is a very important position to have. And then he turned around and he wants all the employees to forego a one-day pay a week, and to give up a contract pay raises for 2 years. Now, he's getting a 4% raise for the next 4 years. I don't understand that. Why would we do that to the people who have been working in the Borough of Washington as employees for all these years? Would they get knocked down and you people say that it's fine for him to draw up his contract and I just can't imagine what you did this for. It really bothers me.
The manager also voluntarily gave up 1.5% of the salary towards his benefit contribution, where no other employee did that. So, all facts on the table, that happened. And he wasn't asked by us to do that.
Why didn't he have to live here in the borough? And I wanted to ask, how often are you in the borough office?
Every day. I have him here.
Every day. What are your hours?
I'm usually here before 8 and I leave at 4.
Every single day?
Yeah, with the exception of meeting nights. I come in later and work later.
So you never do any business from your home?
No, again, I come in late and I work late. That's why I'm here now. I came in late this afternoon.
Well, what time do you come in every day?
Most days I'm here before around a quarter to 8 to 8 a.m.
8 a.m. and to 4. You work 5 days a week.
Right. With the exception of the two nights we have public meetings. I come in late and work late.
You do?
Yeah.
So anybody in the borough that wanted to come over here would find you here?
Depends on what time they come here. I'm not sitting
well,
in
I mean,
my desk.
Well, I mean, from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Now, Mrs. Pyle, if I may, yeah, I mean, there are times where he goes over to the library for business. He goes to the DPW garage. Or he goes to Trenton. I'm sure that you understand that, but I just wanted to make that out there, that there are times where he is called out of the borough.
But that wouldn't be that often. I mean...
It could be two times this week and then he not go for, you know, a year.
Well, when there's a council meeting, he would not be there in the morning. That's what he's saying. He comes in later.
I understand that.
Okay. And I also want to answer that, too, that when I've had questions during the weekend, I've called him at home on the weekend to get answers, so...
Well, you're a council person.
Well, you know what, I also know for a fact he works through his lunch hour. He never goes out for lunch.
And also he started $40,000 below the starting
salary. So when this office is closed during the day from 12 to 1:30, he's in his office.
He's in his office.
Yes. And if
so
you're
if I come here any day of the week, unless he's at another place,
he'll
be here.
If you call and he's available.
Maybe I call.
Well, what if you come in randomly and he's at the pool?
If I come in randomly, I'll always find you in the office.
Well, I mean, he could be at the pool, he could be
right.
at the...
within reason.
I mean, yeah,
I think
within reason.
Smile understands that he could be someplace else.
Absolutely.
If I may, I see residents in the room now that have shown up here between 12 and 1 that have knocked on my door. I spoke with residents in this room right now.
And he's the only one there in the office at that time. So we want to, you know, go down that road. He puts in his time, trust us.
I don't believe Mrs. Pyle's challenging us. She's just trying to get clarification.
I'm trying to figure out.
Well, we're all big boys here now.
I'm just making my statements, so.
Well, I don't think I gave anything factual of what I receive on the paper.
And as far as the other question you had about the residency, I know that's a hot topic.
Yes.
But my thinking on it, and I'm only speaking for myself, is that when you're looking for a position like this, as complicated as the position can be, you want as many talented people to apply for it as possible. If you take the residency requirement out of the equation, you're going to get a lot more applications for that position.
Is that what you did?
We've never had the residency. It was never enforced.
You never asked him that he had to say it.
We asked every candidate that came before us.
And how many did you have? Three? Or four?
50 that we actually weeded through before we actually started formal interviews. But one of the questions we all asked, and we all were on the committee and we all asked the same question, was if you were hired, would you consider relocating to the borough? So the answers were either yes, no, or somewhere in between, or they would consider it. But it was not binding. It was never binding. Because again, I don't think that anybody should put those types of restrictions on candidates, because your candidate pool is going to be a lot less than you would think if you put those restrictions.
Well, it's just that we've always had a local person living in town.
And that's fine. It doesn't make it better or worse, in my opinion. So, I can argue the merits of both ways, 100 ways over.
Okay. I will be checking. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next up we have an ordinance, 9-2010, the cable television franchise, public hearing and adoption.
I'll move ordinance 9-2010.
I'll second for
public hearing. Adoption.
Any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Hagan?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, at this point, I will open up the public hearing on Ordinance 9-2010, Cable Television Franchise.
Good evening, Evelyn Morrison,
20 Madison Avenue. I'd like to just share with the council and the public regarding the cable franchise. I have two questions first. Is it going to be local programming, or is it just going to be service for cable?
I'm not sure I understand.
A lot of times when cable comes into a community, they offer public programs so that the community has access to programming of their own, whether it's going to...
We have a public access channel.
Okay, is this going to add to that, or is it not involved?
I believe that is all regulated by the state.
Okay.
Well, you get it now. There's information on the website.
Okay, okay.
To answer your question, Warren County Technical School used to have an agreement with Comcast.
Okay.
And they would go to the Comcast studios and actually produce a newscast show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was twice a month.
Now, does that still exist or not?
I don't know if Mr. Patricia's still doing that or not.
Well, the Warren if you give me your card or something, I can get in touch with you because I have all the information. It is kind of like complicated. If you wanted to do a half an hour like show, it kind of has to actually be taped in the borough.
Yes,
and
yes.
So there are certain restrictions. I don't know about the Warren Tech still doing it, but anyone could basically put on it. It has to be nonprofit.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm familiar.
So there are restrictions, and I can give you contact information at Comcast to
good.
Call about that. But
that was my concern with this particular cable franchise.
Yeah, it's in this franchise, but it's already been in existence. How many people actually take advantage of it is another thing.
Right.
You know, okay. Can leave the horse
so
to
this won't duplicate that at all?
Excuse me?
Will this duplicate the current cable franchise? Will it duplicate what the other...
No.
Station is doing.
No, all this does is
okay.
give Comcast the right to provide the service within our borders.
Okay. Now,
basically,
the
renewal of our current contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, whose presentation was this? Was this something that you were interested in or something
no,
that
Comcast,
has been going on?
Comcast initiated this.
Okay.
As their last agreement was running out, they approached
okay.
us about it. They made a presentation to us.
Oh, good. Okay.
Negotiated, and this is where we are.
Okay. Does this borough stand to gain anything in terms of maybe services or advertisement or anything?
Comcast is going to make a contribution to us.
Okay.
$25,000, is it?
Correct.
$25,000 to the community. This is just a one-time donation that they're making to us.
The library got internet
and
a school, right?
The bid also, I think.
And the bid
also got it. There's a few subtle differences between this agreement and the one from 10 years ago. The difference is now all the existing and future municipal buildings receive cable TV service free of charge. We also included the Business Improvement District in that as well.
Okay.
This includes the library, the DPW facility, the municipal building, the fire department, any governmental.
Okay, very good. So if you wanted to do an announcement or a program, this would be the technology that you could use or not?
Yes.
Okay.
What we can do is, you know, if we needed to film something right now and put out a public message, say, 10-minute message. It could be filmed, we could bring it to Comcast Studios, and they can air it.
Okay. And would that also be for emergencies or any type of level of emergency?
Yeah. Anytime we need to use the public access station for municipal purposes, we're permitted to.
Okay.
And one other thing, Patrick, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not sure, but didn't Comcast donate a lot of volunteer time and effort for
the garden?
Yes, they did.
The garden.
35 Comcast employees helped with the community garden.
Excellent. So this has been a good relationship and will continue to be a good relationship with some added services. Okay. And was there any fee up front from the borough at all? Was there a fee involved at any point of the contract?
No.
Okay. But there was a donation.
The municipalities, every municipality that has an agreement of this sort, no matter whom the vendor is,
yes.
The municipality receives a portion of their membership.
Okay.
A small, like I believe it was last year, we received $22,000.
Okay. Did that money go into the general fund, or is it earmarked for something specific?
General fund.
General fund. Okay.
It comes in as revenue.
Very good. My questions have been asked. Thank you. Answered. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sloan.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Was it put out to bid? Not bid. I mean. Did Comcast bid against anybody?
No. There was
I don't believe there was any advertisement for it, but there was no bid, but it is a non-exclusive contract, and any other cable company, as I understand it, can come in at any time and ask for a franchise, should they so desire.
The last time we did this, the cable franchise, we went out and we solicited other cable companies. You remember RCN and whatever that else was out there? They wouldn't do it because they'd have to pay Comcast for their lines.
Mm-hmm. At least.
It's going to be a mega loss.
Right.
A mess.
Easy for you to say.
But when the cable first came in the town, the council was paid off, mm-hmm. which I happen to know about. So I just thought people would like to know that.
Right.
But I'm listening.
And that was in 1968, wasn't it?
You remember that?
Yep. I don't know if the entire council was paid off, but there were two individuals.
The important people were.
Right. And that's hence,
and the lawyer.
Hence the form of government was changed after that.
Who was the lawyer?
Pushing that.
He was a bad actor.
No, I was good. Yeah, right.
Okay, is there anyone else who has any questions on the cable television franchise?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, I guess we need a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
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 McDonald?
Yes.
Deone?
Yes.
Leibach?
Yes.
Takes us to Ordinance 10-2010. An ordinance to amend Chapter 94, Zoning and Land Development in the Borough of Washington. This is for introduction.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Powell?
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Ordinance 10-2010, an ordinance to amend Chapter 94, Zoning and Land Development of the Borough of Washington.
Okay, is there any discussion? Hearing none.
I'd like to move Ordinance 10-2010 for initial introduction.
Introduction?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leibach?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ordinance
10-2010
will be August
17,
2010. An advertisement of the public hearing
and
the
starting
on July
29,
2010.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to Ordinance 11-2010, of which we have two of for our consideration. Mr. Phelan and Mr. Cushing, would either of you like to comment on this?
Yeah. At the last meeting, you expressed a desire to be able to have the opportunity to put the garbage question, whether to continue public collection or to have private collection, up for a referendum to be held at the November election. You asked to have two options, one which would be a binding referendum, which would bind the council, the second, a non-binding referendum. So we prepared two ordinances for you. One is a binding binding referendum, which means that if passed, you'd be forced to carry that out. The other is a non-binding one. As you can see, there's some differences there. The binding referendum requires you to actually have prepared and to have the voters actually vote on the ordinance itself, okay? So we prepared the referendum question and the actual ordinance for you to adopt. Now, there's some consequences to a vote in favor of a binding referendum, and that is that that ordinance cannot be changed for 3 years. So the other issue that exists is we're under a very tight time schedule in order to be able to adopt this. If you wish to follow through with this tonight, you would need to have this for the second meeting, I think it's the 17th, right, of August has to be adopted on that day, and then you would have to do a resolution on that date determining that the 20-day period within which, after which ordinances become effective would have to be suspended. Because in order for us to get this to the clerk in the time, the county clerk, in time to get the county clerk to be able to put it on the ballot, we have to get it there, actually, I think it's actually August 21st, but she's given us a little bit of flexibility so in order to be able to put this together. Now, we have a recommendation on this. Our recommendation is just do the non-binding, and we make that recommendation not having anything to do with the wisdom of that particular approach, but we're just very concerned because the ordinance that we adopted, excuse me, that we prepared, which we presented for you tonight, we simply drew up, okay? We didn't have any real direction from you as to the details of that, and we're just concerned that if for some reason what we've come up with isn't accurate, it isn't, doesn't reflect your wishes in any way, then it cannot be changed within the time period that exists. A non-binding referendum is much simpler. It can be gotten on the ballot and then voted on. The consequence, and you know, obviously there are some consequences to this, it's simply not binding. But obviously the council could follow the views of the voters if it chose to do so. We just, for technical reasons, we're very concerned because we're afraid that if the ordinance isn't completely right, you're stuck with it for 3 years once it's voted upon, if there's an affirmative vote by the voters on it. By the way, we've sent both ordinances up to the county clerk to make sure that she felt that the form was correct, that she would put these, or either one of the two ordinances, on the ballot. She's approved the form of both, so they're ready to go, whatever your choice on the thing. Yes, Dave?
Why does this have to be done by ordinance?
Huh?
Why does this have to be done by ordinance?
That's what the state statute requires when you do a referendum. It has to be adopted by ordinance in order to authorize the county clerk to put it on the ballot. That's the procedural mechanism that's required by statute. Wow. To be adopted. So it's a very complex procedure, and we did our best on that ordinance that actually calls for the mandatory ordinance, but there are some issues there in connection with that ordinance that I think you need to think through in maybe more detail.
Which order is talking about, Dick?
The mandatory one.
I'm talking about the binding, but not so much the verbiage in
the non-binding.
The borough not providing the services. I mean, we have to change that ordinance if this goes through, correct?
The binding one hasn't changed the ordinance.
The binding one, right. The ordinance that you would adopt tonight, if you elected to go to the binding vote, actually includes within it the new ordinance that would be approved by the voters. And since it's approved by the voters, you would not have the authority to change it for 3 years after its approval. And that actual ordinance is contained right in the ordinance that you would be adopting tonight. Excuse me, introducing tonight.
Right. So you, whatever we have in the code book now, if we go to the binding, that would come out. This
correct.
Time.
Right. It would be replaced by the language that has been submitted to you.
I have a question, too. If we chose the non-binding, and we definitely would go, well, I'm not saying definitely, but we say we were going to do what the voters wanted.
Correct.
Would we then do another ordinance?
Correct.
Okay, to do what the public voted on?
Correct.
But that one could be amended?
Correct.
Or
you'd have whatever flexibility that you'd want with respect to adopting whatever ordinances you wanted to need.
Just one, typo, just in case non-binding one is, approved. Where it says, whereas the mayor and council believe that privatizing, you left out because
well,
why?
Well, it actually was intentionally left out so that you could fill in whatever information that you
it
wanted.
Filled, we can't.
Filled
in this one. Oh,
they're
okay.
Both of them, they're blank in both of them.
No,
so
it's not blank in this one, so that's why I was. Yeah, it's because it reduces the property tax burden on residents.
Yeah. Right.
That's the binding.
Okay. I think that we put that in, and you can use that same language if you choose to put into that one.
Okay, Councilman Boyle, you had a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I have a question for Rich. The proof of service, that stipulation in the both ordinances, is there an impact? What would be the impact on the borough employees? It says here the tax collector would be responsible for that. Do you have any, what would that be?
That would be something that we would just include the notice in the tax bill that go out.
So that would say that the resident would have to send in a current bill from their collection service?
Which section are you looking at, just so I can make sure I'm responding to the right question?
It's, I think it's under the definitions. I'm guessing. Somebody help me out here. I circled it.
No, I just want to make sure.
Right, it's a bond proof of service, and then you continue to notice the residents.
The request for that would go out with the tax bill. What that mechanism is anything, any bill, any document that they have.
And if somebody chooses to use a county landfill of their own and not purchase a service?
Well, they, a document from them saying that.
Oh, okay.
Just that would meet the requirements of the ordinance.
So it would be minimal impact on the person that's responsible to review?
It would be probably, I would imagine, an annual requirement.
An annual requirement.
It's going to require, if it's followed up on, it's going to require somebody to follow up with each taxpayer and
Who did and who
have
did.
These records, and it's going to, there's some efforts to be put into that.
Yeah, I do. Can there be any more clarification on the statement, yes or no? There, shall ordinance blank, whatever, entitled an ordinance amending the chapter, whatever, submitted, let's see, provide the privatization of collection of solid waste throughout the borough. Submitted by the borough council providing for privatization of the collection of solid waste in the borough of Washington be adopted. Is there any way that we can put in there that it's going to cost more if we do that? May cost more?
Well, the problem is, Dave, it gets into subjective determinations, and this has already been approved by the county clerk, and I'm very reluctant to change it at this stage with the short time period because it's got to be factually accurate.
But also, it doesn't, based on your, it could cost more based on your assessment, but it could also cost less based on your assessment, based on that and what a la carte options you choose to have with your private carrier if you went that direction. We talked about that last meeting where if I only need one garbage can a week versus two pickups a week, it's going to be a much different cost. So that's why I don't think you could lock in on it's going to cost more or less.
I think that really, Dave, goes more to the political discussion that goes on to try to convince people one way or another whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. I think it's better to address those kind of questions, which are, they have a subjective content to them, as Vic is sort of alluding to. And if we say things in the referendum that are inaccurate, it could subject it to legal challenge, and that could undermine the process and cost you a ton of money. So I think you're best off being very, very cautious in terms of the approach to this.
Well, we've already decided that the borough manager, we're going to have the fees and the contact people, and it's going to be on the website or whatever for information for the residents to make the right choice.
Right.
So they can do their math to see, you know, so what the information that we have, you know, the borough is going to, yes, the borough residents are going to have it.
And you can have public meetings, you can have, you know, whatever informational sessions you might want to have, rather than trying to argue the merits or the demerits of it in this process.
No matter which way you go, ultimately, if it's the non-binding, you would eventually be doing an ordinance, or if you chose the binding. Is it... Would it behoove us, like, to include wording on, like, fines for not in compliance? Like, nowhere in there does it mention anything about what if no one does it, like...
Is that in the original garbage ordinance as far as fines?
If they're not having their garbage picked up and it's left at their house, you know, we have public nuisance and public health laws that would apply to it.
Okay.
Now, I mean, if it's just one bag, that may not apply.
Legal
but if there's dozens,
leak something.
This is a mechanism for garbage collection. For people who are violating any other portion of the ordinances, there's a mechanism for citation.
Okay, all right.
Is there any other discussion on this?
I think if we're going to do it right, we should use a non-binding. I believe we're going to have, I think we're going to be too rushed to do it.
Is that a motion, sir?
Yes, I'll make that a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, let's do a roll call on this, please.
Aldo?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Leva?
This is for non-binding.
For non-binding.
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. I guess just for the record, we should, you want to use the language that's in the...
Yeah, not the language.
Okay.
Ordinance 11-2010, an ordinance authorizing a non-binding referendum on whether collection of garbage should remain a municipal service.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Halpin?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Public hearing of ordinance 10-2010 will be August 17, 2010. 11-2010 will be August 17, 2010, and advertisement of the public hearing is started today on July 29, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Calvo?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Peony?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes. Mayor, can I just make a quick statement?
Certainly.
I wanted to thank the clerk. She worked very closely with my office in order to get this timed correctly and make sure that we had all the procedural steps done, and her assistance was greatly appreciated. And also the county clerk did a great job helping us out.
Thank you. Scott, I'm sorry, if I may. Rich, could you explain again how, if we privatize, does this affect us in the levy cap or something of that nature, because I think that's important to note for the record.
The way the question is formed, the question is, does the borough council want to raise funds for garbage collection in your property tax dollars?
Which is what it's done today.
Which is what's done today. Right now it's $442,000 a year. What this question is saying, the ordinance is putting the question to the voters, do you want me to raise that money in taxes for garbage collection, or would you like to make your own arrangements for garbage collection and in turn allow the municipality to reduce the tax burden by not having to raise that amount each year?
Right, but that also impacts our levy cap waiver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood your question when you said the cap. Correct. Right now, the collection of garbage falls within right now there's a 4% tax levy cap. Next year, that 4% has been reduced to 2%.
And where would we be next year if we kept everything as is?
If we kept everything as is, we'd be at probably 4%, 4.5% next year. Based on current numbers.
Privatizing this would help us get closer to the 2%.
Correct. It would get at or below the 2% aside from the other.
I think that's important to note because these are rules that we have to play by that we didn't have to play by last year.
I can piggyback onto that a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that by putting it out to a vote, if the voters elect to keep it in the taxes, you know, that's one of the ways that you can get around that.
Correct.
Because the voters have said that they want to keep it that way.
The state won't hold you to the 2% if the voters say we want the municipality to spend more. That's correct.
What happens if they do vote no and it is a 4%? And so the state will take that into consideration or what?
For the garbage portion of it, yes.
Correct. Only for the garbage portion. If it goes to the voters and the voters say, no, we want to keep everything as it is, when we go to prepare the 2011 budget, we can note, you know, in November 2010, a referendum went to the public. The public said they want to keep it as it is.
And this could actually hurt us next year if we try to go for transitional aid again, correct?
When I was in Trenton a couple of weeks ago, the director of acting director of the Division of Local Government Services says that every expenditure, any nice-to-do things need to be pulled out of your budget. Every should-do things need to be seriously looked at by the municipal government bodies.
Thank you. Sorry, Scott.
No problem. Next, we have our reports.
Move we file reports.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports?
Yeah, I have a question. On the revenue report, if I can find it here.
The tax collector's revenue?
Okay. In the past, it's showed things on here, revenue from the recreation, but it's not on this one. We didn't take any money in June.
I'll be honest, I don't remember what the previous reports say. I mean, this is the same format that just tax collector's been providing since I've been here.
So it's right up towards the top. I don't have the other.
I have to check the previous month. I don't recall.
Now, for clarification purposes, and Janine actually wanted this question asked, when the Rec Commission takes user fee-based money, when they bring that in, they have to reimburse the borough for what the borough expends. You know, if they purchase equipment, they're reimbursing the borough. And anything that's taken in over the reimbursement goes into their trust fund.
No, the way it works now is revenue they receive comes in as revenue for the recreation department. And they can spend that as long as the fees that come in are related to a rec program or event. Council made the decision earlier this year for, as an example, say basketball.
Right.
If basketball costs $500 to put on, they bring in $800. That, you know, they spend the $500 out of the rec trust for the program, they get $800 back. They're plus three in the rec trust. Now, revenue from recreation is used for recreation. It's not a question of you're spending current fund dollars and repaying it back with rec trust funds.
So the current fund dollars that we're expending right now are not going to be reimbursed?
Right.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Any other discussion on any of the reports?
Scott, if I may, I have one question. Could we ask Mr. LeClaire on the OAM quarterly report? His report was excellent, by the way. It deals with like large-scale evacuation of BASF and its flood disasters, those types of things. Would it be possible to get a similar, smaller-scale type of report on a St. Cloud type of item? Because when we had the St. Cloud fire, there was a lot of people complaining that it wasn't well organized from an emergency response, where the staging area was going to be for the evacuees, where they were going to be housed, those types of things. I just look at that as a gap currently.
You're looking for just if something like that happens, or are you talking about having him address it?
No, I mean, if he has a plan in place for a similar structure type, like right now he's talking large scale, and I don't know if he has a plan in place for a smaller scale, similar to St. Cloud.
If I could, the junior high is designated an evacuation area. The problem that we ran into with St. Cloud is they couldn't be in the school, if you catch my drift.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, I mean, we still might have.
But the evacuation area, there are evacuation plans for using the middle school.
Well, what if a similar situation happened where there was, you know, people that
they're going to be housed here.
Okay, so that's all understood now.
Yes.
So, I mean, that was only my concern because, you know, sort of a lessons learned type of thing, what we would do different. And I never saw that, but if that's already been addressed, then I have no issues.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, David.
Okay, any other questions or comments on the reports? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Do you have any committee reports this evening? Councilman Boyle.
I spoke to Belvedere, the town of Belvedere, and they are having a special meeting tomorrow about the program they're going to be offering the borough for garbage refuse recycling. So I was really hoping that I'll have something to report back to council at the next meeting. If I got some real good news, I'll shoot you all an email. I read in the paper, Hampton's working with us on shared service.
Yeah, that news to you?
Yeah, it was news to me.
For just recycling?
Yeah, just recycling, so good job, Rich.
I knew all me too when I read it.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other committee reporting?
The grant committee will be meeting next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, to hopefully approve the bid grant. I'm meeting with Rich tomorrow about a recreation grant, and if that all goes well, then we'll approve that on next Wednesday. And we're also hopefully going to approve a DOT grant that Rich and the mayor and Victor have been working on with Andrew Holt. I have two questions now. The grant would be, let me get out all my information, for how much? It's for the Beethoven Avenue.
Beethoven Avenue. It's a $127,000 estimate from Andrew Holt's office.
Right. And then we're going to, in order to have a better chance of receiving a grant, if the borough could contribute a portion of that, and it would come from capital funds that we do have.
Cash.
Capital cash.
Non-borrowed.
And we would be looking at putting up $27,000 and requesting a grant of $100,000. So obviously if we didn't get the grant, the project would go nowhere. And if we did get the grant and we chose not to use it, then, you know, it would all have to be approved by council anyway to accept the grant. So, I mean, at this point, if everyone's kind of in favor of it, I could, you know, relay that information to the grant committee that it is a project that we would like to see, you know, completed, because our streets are in a dire need of improvement. I guess my only thing is it's I being new, relatively new on council, don't really know the whole street plan, and, you know, is Beethoven Avenue a priority of the streets committee? Would there be a better street that they would rather us apply this grant to?
If I could make some comments. From my understanding, and Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, but Beethoven was like ranked number one in our street survey as being worst.
I believe that to be true also.
So this would be an actual complete restoration of the street. That would be sidewalks, curbing, and the street itself. Andrew Holt also built in a 25% contingency amount into that $127,000. So that would protect us partially to what Andrew, the other Andrew, had mentioned as his concern about mm-hmm. material costs going up. Andrew had given his estimate in October of 2009, so it is relatively up-to-date estimate on the cost. Andrew Holt would also be charging part of his, out of his retainer, $1,200 for the grant applications, the filings, the pictures, all of the details that would be required for the grant application, and he would be assessing which grants we would be eligible potentially to apply for, like safe streets and byways, and there's other potential grants
with DOT, right?
With DOT, because we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into applying for one potential grant. And as Janine alluded to, if we were awarded the grant in full amount, and we wouldn't be obligated to accept it ultimately, which we did with the Belvedere Phase 2 project, where we actually returned $150,000 grant because we didn't have the funds to fund the entire completion of the project. This is why I think it's important that we're looking at smaller projects that are more doable than the bigger scale projects. While they're still important and necessary, like Grand Avenue, we just don't have the capital money available to offset the loan amounts. Thanks.
That's all I have for the grant committee.
Anything else?
I have a quick website update. I was reached out to by the Shade Tree Commission. They possibly want to redo their webpage on our borough website. So I basically said, whatever you want, just let me know, and I'll pass the information along to the website committee. But I have not heard back yet, so I'm assuming they're waiting on their next meeting.
Any other committee reports? Okay, hearing none. We'll move over to old business. We have the municipal court agreement discussion. So we have, can you give these two together?
Sure, hand in hand.
Okay, yeah, that and the approval of the shared service agreement, I guess, are hand in hand here. So we will, any discussion on the court agreement or the service agreement that we have here from the Superior Court of New Jersey? Libby, you look like you have something you want to say.
I guess if we could just, for the record, go over what the actual pros are of the shared service with the municipal court. Obviously, it'd be, at this point, we know it would be about $55,000 to $60,000 yearly savings once we go to a full year. This year, it will be prorated because it would only be for one quarter, so there will ultimately be some savings. Another pro, and everyone can jump in here and help me out, is that we, because of security and rules and regulations, a lot of upgrades would be done
right.
to the courthouse.
Many security upgrades would have to be
we
done to this
We would not
road.
Have to worry about that because our police department is with the Washington Township. They also use Mansfield, so it's kind of good to have all the people going to the same court. What exactly are the negatives for having this?
One negative I see is that the people would have to travel farther to go to court. And in all honesty, I don't know what the public transportation like is going to the Mansfield court, whether that would be convenient. I know the bus line runs from Hackettstown to Washington. I'm not sure exactly how far off 57 their court is.
Half mile to Hill.
Is that it, where the auto dealer is and up there?
By the school.
Yeah, above the school?
Yeah. Across from Comcast.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's really... Am I missing any other?
I don't believe so.
Pros or?
Pro and the cons obviously is subjective. There's
obviously the whole, but not only would we be realizing savings, but it would affect the tax rate because you wouldn't have.
Well,
that
the costs associated with the shared service agreement would fall outside the budget cap. The actual 4% that we were talking about before would fall outside.
So we're
shared service agreement of any type will outside
right.
the budget cap.
So that's a plus.
Didn't we not have an issue with that with the police department?
Nope, they're outside the budget cap right now.
Okay.
Right now.
But there was a discussion at one point.
Well, there was an issue with the pension, but we worked that out with the state. The state, which I said.
That's right.
The pension wasn't, but we showed them all the documentation.
Councilman Boyle, you got something?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Rich, did you actually, with the upgrade that we would have to do to this building, did we actually get physical quotes, what they were asking?
The information that I got from the court administrator was the last December, I think, as part of the regular budget process, and she said anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000.
On the agreement, service agreement here, under services to be provided, letter A, the very last paragraph, where it says recipient ABC should increase or decrease, the staffing levels may be adjusted accordingly. Do you have any idea how that would be handled? I mean, they're talking about if the Borough of Washington's claims drop 50%, would it affect just the borough, or does the whole court have to drop claims or citations?
When we presented it to the court, we said if the both answers your question. If the overall drops, and as a result of that, the additional staffing needed there is no longer needed, we reap the first savings. Or on the flip side, if the borough's court drops, like you said, 50%, and the additional staff isn't needed, we reap the savings first.
Okay.
$40,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the additional cost imposed on us by the assignment judge. So the host community agreed, since those costs wouldn't be there, if this agreement didn't move forward, they was able to convince them to let us get the first bite of the apple for any savings.
Now, originally, and this could be me, I was led to believe the municipal prosecutor was not going to be our employee if we go to the shared service court.
Correct.
Is that still true?
through in January 1st, 2011, if council agrees to this contract, yes. Through the current year, the current contract you have with your prosecutor will remain in full effect.
Okay. We did answer. I had the one question on H. We did get that one done.
I'm sorry, H?
Well, letter H. Yeah, okay. We already talked about that. Thank you.
I had a question. The $10,000 to $15,000 that we would, if we kept everything as is in house, we would have to upgrade this facility. That's currently in the budget today, correct?
It would be used from the capital improvement fund because there would be capital expenditures. Yes.
So if this is approved and goes forward, we could eliminate that from the budget.
You can theoretically, that's correct. You can reduce the capital improvement fund by $15,000. What I would recommend is let me get live numbers today, because those were based on the estimates I was given
right
at the beginning of the budget season.
Right.
There's just one typo in number 11, early termination, second sentence.
I'm sorry, number
11, page 6, early termination, second sentence. Just a typo.
Okay.
Penalty.
Oh. Okay. Oh, wow. I highlighted that, and I didn't even see it.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Sure.
The $138,000 is going to be prorated.
Yes.
So that number then actually would be what for?
$38,416.75.
Okay. And we're actually, by doing this in, what did you say, September 1st, I think?
October 1st is what the assignment judge said.
Okay. It has to be done by October 1st.
No. If it's going to happen, the judge says it's going to happen on that date.
Okay. So then we say $15,000 for the year.
$15,709.
That's capital.
No, that's just operating. OE/ salary cost for.
Okay.
And are we sure that the question keeps coming up about the judge. Now, we appointed him for 3 years.
You appointed him on March 17, 2009 for 3 years.
Okay. We're not responsible, since he's not going to be our employee, for that contract to pay him.
We are. It happens to be the same judge in both.
I understand that.
So as a result of this agreement, next year, we're appointing the judge.
Well, they're appointing the judge. We have to pay for it.
Correct. They're prosecutor, they're judge, they're municipal court administrator.
Okay. The question that I have, though, is he's going to be working for Mansfield.
Correct.
He has an agreement with Washington Borough.
Correct.
So, okay.
But no. What you need to remember, you're still appointing him as the Washington Borough Municipal Court judge. He's just getting paid by Mansfield as part of the agreement. We're not writing him a paycheck anymore.
But it says in here that they're all employees of Mansfield.
Correct. But you're appointing him as your judge. You're appointing a Mansfield employee as the borough's judge.
But it says the provider.
Correct. They're the provider.
That's the appointing is the appointing authority. That's where I'm confused.
I think what you're asking here is there a violation of the contract here?
Correct. He was involved in all the conversations. He came to Somerville. We met with the assignment judge. He's aware of all of this.
He's also a lawyer.
Is that a dig, Mr. Hickman?
No, I'm just saying that. Look.
I'm not sure.
You understand what I'm talking about, Dave?
I do, Dave. There's two types of joint municipal courts. There's a shared court, and then there's what's called actually a joint municipal court.
This correct.
It's a shared court. So your court continues. It has to have a judge. It has to have all the other personnel. But all those functions are being carried out by people who are appointed by Mansfield.
You still have to appoint a judge and a prosecutor.
You still have a court. It just has a different...
I understand that, but it says, you know, the language in here about the prosecutor is going to be ours until the end of the year, and he was only a one-year appointment.
Yeah, correct.
I think if I can try and clarify what Dave's trying to say here is, suppose Mansfield next year decides Judge Palmer's not their judge, they appoint somebody else, and we still have a contract with him. Are we in violation of any contract that we have with him, or what are the consequences of that?
That accurate? Not according to the assignment judge. When we went to Somerville,
Is that in writing?
No. She said it at our meeting. She said it at our meeting, and she reviewed and approved the contract that you see before you.
So what happens to the contract that we have with Judge Palmer now, starting October 1st?
He happens to be the same judge for all the municipalities involved.
Right.
But doesn't this agreement get supersede previous agreements?
Not with him individually.
No, not with that's correct. Not with him individually. But technically, the borough appointed the municipal court judge last year. At the end, this December 31st will be the end of his year two of his 3-year appointment.
Cushing, do you have anything to weigh in on that?
Not for him, yeah.
When does the contract expire?
Right. That's
what. This document that you see before you is being executed by all the municipalities participating in this. So there's a same start date and same ending. when this gets approved by the other towns, and if this gets approved by this body, everyone will start on October 1st. All the appointments. The judge in Athens will have a new contract with you starting October 1st.
I think the question is our contract, Washington Borough's contract.
It would be dissolved.
It would be dissolved as of October 1st.
Yes. I mean, we could have it with the judge, because this would be his new one.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a 3-year contract.
We could. Well, this is correct, 3 years.
Could we get that from Judge Palmer?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is this one is, because like I said, he was involved in the discussions. This one is now meant to supersede. This is the new contract.
Right.
So if you want to formally memorialize ending one, starting another, we could do that as well.
Yeah, we need to end the current contract we have.
As long as all the parties agree, that's fine. That's just a resolution memorializing the action.
Okay.
If that's what this body wants, I think that's
pull
the judge this week.
That's prudent.
Okay.
Mayor, have you spoken to any other mayors involved with this and get feedback?
I have not, no. I've just let the court do this since they're really the ones, it's their ball.
But one municipality could object and then we have a problem, correct?
No.
Oh, no? Does that be unanimous?
No, it doesn't. Because remember, the host community is requesting that everyone passes on October 1st to clean up their records. Everyone starts on one day, ends on one day. Theoretically, if the other municipalities say no, that has no bearing on this agreement. The numbers are still the same.
Okay.
They'll just have different starting and ending dates for the participating towns.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what's your pleasure?
I don't know if that's completely accurate. A complete agreement on the back of it right there that says everybody's got to agree to it.
Again, and I already spoke with Mansfield on this. If that occurs, if for whatever reason, say three pass the agreement and one doesn't, we'd have to resubmit to the AOC with an individual contract and start the process all over again. We couldn't move forward if all four don't agree right now. We could move forward with a new agreement, us and the host community.
But as of now, all four agree.
That's correct. Based on the conversations I had with the host town, he said all the other. I think one is adopting tonight, one's adopting tomorrow, and the finals adopting next week to get the final agreements to the state by the 30th. Oh, no, excuse me, not the state, we signed the judge by the 30th.
Can we do this in the form of a motion? So I'll make a motion to move forward with the municipal court agreement.
Second. Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I thought we were going to have some discussion with the judge whether or not he's going to agree to do that.
The judge has met with the assignment judge, our municipal judge rather, has met with the assignment judge, spoke with the host community, spoke with the host community's municipal court administrator, and everything is in line. If council chooses to not do this tonight, which is their choice, we have to start from zero all over again.
Can we do this with the contingency of getting that letter from the judge?
According to the AOC, no. Okay. These are their terms. We have to take it or leave it. This is the form of contract they approve.
But that's on your discussions with the judge. You don't think this is more than a hiccup technicality?
It never even came up until today. It wasn't an issue.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any other discussion? Let's do a roll call on this one, please.
Leonie?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hagan?
No.
Donald?
Yes.
Alvo?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
To new business, we have three resolutions, 145, 147, and 148, which I think we can all do together.
I move three resolutions.
I'll second the three resolutions.
Is there any discussion on any of those resolutions? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Okay, on to our vouchers.
Move to pay our bills.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Is that a yes, Mr. Higgins?
Well, let me see here. I have some pages highlighted. Euthanizing a squaw, I thought that was pretty good. Page 12. The hiring rule bill, was that for the planning board?
Yep, trust account planning board. It's paid to escrow. The T account represents escrow.
Page 25. The two legal expenses there, you know, the Whitsley, Grunberg?
The Planning Board and Board of Adjustment attorney.
Okay. That's the Board of Adjustment, yeah. All right, what are the legal fees underneath it? It just says legal services for May 2010.
Look at the account next to it. It's a trust account paid by the applicant for Park Hill Apartments, a trust account paid for by Jade Acquisition, and a trust account paid for by the estate of Doris Hoffman. Those are applicant escrow fees paying.
Okay, that's the... To those guys up there?
Correct.
Okay. Just staying on that same account, Rich. We get bills from February and March and all that. These guys historically late on billing us?
Yeah. Quite honestly, yeah. No offense, but professionals are the worst to get signatures from. Sorry.
You never follow
that anything. Utility company. The worst.
Any other discussion?
Well, yeah. On page 34, the budget total, if you go to the recreation trust there, that's why I was wondering why it didn't show on the revenue.
Well, that's
bill.
Expenditures. That doesn't necessarily mean revenue.
Okay, but there again, it says total revenue. Who's paying that $1,600?
Where do you see total revenue?
Revenue total.
That's the last
revenue total, zero.
Budget total. It's budget total, revenue total.
Yeah, budget total. Budget total is how much expenditures are made on this bill list. Revenue total, zero, because this is an expenditure list, not a revenue list. The bill list is expenditures, not revenue.
Okay.
Well, just one thing. Last meeting I talked about the two reimbursements, and I gave an estimate of about $2,200. I don't remember the exact estimate, but I think it was around $2,200. I did the calculations on this bill list, and per discussion with the manager, all the checks have been cut, and it actually cost us $1,722.75, so we actually was less than my estimate. So I'll take the hit on that one.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Alvo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yeah, just from the last couple of months and this too. I'm just going to abstain from the whole thing only because there's been a lot of Finelli Consulting Engineers, Planning Board of Adjustment, Jade Acquisition. I'm just abstaining from it all.
Okay.
You know where I'm coming from.
Leonie?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes, and I'll abstain on the check to me for the pool refund.
Again?
Yes, with the abstention or anything that has to do with the fire department.
Boyle?
Yes.
Takes us to a recap. Mr. Phelan, what's on your list?
Excuse me. I will be forwarding the existing ordinance regarding overnight parking. I'll work with the attorney, forward it to the police department, fire department, EMS, and streets committee to have their comments by the second meeting in August. By that meeting, we will have their comments to you for your action accordingly. And actually, that's aside from the getting the agreement signed regarding the court. That's it.
And the judge.
In the judge. Correct. And contacting the judge regarding the dissolving of the existing.
Okay. Council comments. Start with you, Mr. Cioni. Is your point with the audience?
No comments other than, Richard reached out to all of us about the fire truck sale and whether we're going to reduce the amount from $10,000 to a lower amount and go out for auction again. I responded just to Rich, or I don't know if I responded to everybody, but I know I reached out to Rich and I said I would be okay with reducing it to $6,000. The number I came up with 6,000 was because of the number that he had found on researching similar type aged trucks. So I think 6,000 is a relatively viable number to go out to auction again. So that, and one other thing, there is a few years ago, 3 years ago I think it was, we purchased a $22,000 or whatever dollar water buffalo sprinkler system for the Barrett Steinhardt Field. I talked to Dave, who does the maintenance of the parks, and he said that this year they've used it maybe twice, and last year zero times. So I'm thinking we should consider finding out what the worth of a three-year-old barely used apparatus is and maybe putting that up for auction as well, because it's sitting in the shed and it hasn't been used. And it's an expensive piece of equipment.
$13,000.
Well, I could swear it was 20 grand at least.
13. That's a 13.
I'm still not disputing it. I just
no,
remember
still
that.
No, it's still a lot of money.
I just, for whatever reason, 20 grand sticks in my head from what was the, maybe that was what was allocated versus what it actually cost. I don't remember, but.
Would you like that research? Then.
I would like to find out what it, I don't really care what it cost, but I'd probably be more concerned about what we think the market value could be.
That research it and put
yeah,
it on the agenda.
Yeah, I think
the
that's fair.
Meeting?
Is everybody okay with the 6,000?
Sure.
For the truck?
For the truck?
I'd rather see 8,000.
Well, you're just talking about a minimum bid, correct?
Minimum bid, yeah.
Start at 6. Anybody object to that?
Well, how does that work? If that's the only bid you get, then it's 6,000?
Yeah, as long as it met the minimum.
I'd say 8,000.
Yeah, but if he's done research on it, shows up the bids on a machine like that, if you have the figures that show there, it is 6,000.
Well,
the reality is too, it can't be used for any municipal entity.
Yeah.
It's not a actively
parts, not in the United States.
It's not in the United States, yeah. So it's not like another town can buy it and use it.
If you give me a new number, I'll go back out with that new number. I just need to know what you want to do.
I'm okay with 6. I mean,
how much would we get scrapped for?
How much would you get scrapped for?
Probably about 6.
Yeah.
I'm too sure about that. John, what do you think? 6?
6.
Click says 6. Terry?
6. Go ahead.
Janine, you'd like to see 8?
Yeah, so I'm a no.
Okay. Dave?
Abstain.
Abstain. I'm sorry. Pat?
No.
6 or 8 or nothing at all?
Oh, 8.
And I'll go with 6.
And we netted $700 on the vehicles?
On the vehicles that we sold for scrap.
Anything else, Councilman?
No.
Councilman Valentine?
No comments yet.
Councilman Housel?
Just that the rescue of the squad was in front of us tonight. It's a staggering amount of calls that they go on. And all of our EMS people deserve kudos for the work they do, all hours of the day and the night. So they do a great job.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Mrs. Gleba. Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, I probably should have brought this up during the revenue report again, but I have one question on that, if we can go back to that real quick. The interfunds, the amount that shows there on the interfunds, is that what we're paying back on that $1.5 million balance?
Hold on, one second.
It's like fourth one up from the bottom.
Yes.
That's what we're paying back for the funds?
Yes.
Okay. And where's that coming from?
This one here was coming from general capital. There was an outstanding balance on an account that wasn't needed,
okay.
So it's canceled.
All right. I do have some other things written down here. I received, I had a face-to-face discussion with a resident about a cracked sidewalk that was done by Jack Van Cleef, I guess, when they were moving the trailers in over there. And I guess she said she's been going through this for about 3 years. And they actually had pictures of when it was done. I know you weren't the manager when they pulled that in there, but she said she is. It's been documented that when it happened, the day it happened. And her complaint is she doesn't want to have to pay for the sidewalk repair, and now it's become a hazard.
Which sidewalk is it?
On the corner right here where he pulled the trailers.
Oh, the one by church.
Yeah.
Right.
Church going into the parking lot.
I remember, I forgot for the life of me, I can't remember the resident's name. I
Harry.
Had to actually pull the bond on that. If you release the bond from his work, and see, technically sidewalks aren't the borough's responsibility, the property owner's responsibility.
Correct.
So that's not to say that if it's damaged by a borough employee, it wouldn't be repaired. I mean, if council wants to make a decision to repair it, we'd have to budget for it, but my guess is it's so long ago his bond has since expired.
But the project's not complete.
Correct.
True.
Was the bond on the first part? I mean, I wasn't here, so I don't know that when the planning board approved it.
I don't know. Can we check on that?
Yeah, I mean,
if you can just check on that and give, I'll give you the lady's name.
Sure.
Okay. I did have the status on the interviews for the zoning officer.
Covered that, I guess.
Pardon me?
I guess we covered that.
I guess. Interviews are going on right now, though, you say?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is there any way that the council can get a report from the rec commission, or from the pool, the park, or whatever is going on down there? Because there's a lot of talk about, like, baseball. I've been inundated with comments about baseball that they can't play unless the nets are up.
Correct.
The nets are up.
Correct.
But then now they can't play because a foul ball went in the swimming pool.
Well, it's not a question of them not being able to play. We're going to see if we can schedule at a different time so there's no one in the pool, meaning after 6 p.m.
Okay.
That was correct. It was my understanding that council had made its decision no men's baseball without the nets, and there was a delay in getting the nets up, so I told them they couldn't play until the nets were up.
All right. Well,
now they're up, and then I received a report from the pool supervisor that a foul ball came dangerously close to the kiddie pool.
Okay. Does that hold true then for softball?
Does what hold true?
That they have to play after 6 o'clock?
No, because it's my understanding council didn't make a decision for the nets. The nets were the issue. I mean, if we want to start scheduling everything after 6 p.m., we can do that.
Yeah, but the nets were for a long 31. They weren't to keep balls from going in the swimming pool.
Look, right now I just got that complaint late yesterday. I haven't even had a chance to look into the logistics.
What complaint? The complaint about the ball going in the pool?
The foul ball going in. I haven't even had a chance to look into it yet.
Okay, so the game that's going to be played
this Sunday. I'm not canceling any games as of yet.
Okay.
That's your question.
Okay. And something that actually Mrs. Pyle brought up, and she's not here, I would like to have placed on the agenda for the next one to revisit our ordinance for voting, to move from a majority present to a majority of council.
I think there's a statute on that.
It's a statute?
On the ordinance, yeah. In other words, it has to be a majority of full council complement.
Meaning?
Four votes.
Yes. Regardless of who's in attendance.
Yeah.
Assuming you have a quorum.
Correct. Okay, so
we
the votes...
Without a quorum,
right? Well, yeah, now, see, that opens it. So the votes that were taken that four people in the affirmative didn't vote on, there was only a majority, let's say there was five people here, and four people, or you had three, yeah, three people voted...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about ordinances.
No.
Okay. No, there's no requirement for minimum number of votes.
Except for what's in our code book. That's we can change that. Yeah. I would like to have that placed on the agenda for the next meeting for discussion, if anybody doesn't mind.
Sure.
I'll have some prepared for everybody then.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Any word yet on the $388,000?
Yes, my memo's going out tomorrow. I just got the last of the information.
Okay.
I needed it today. I didn't want to... It's four pages long.
Okay.
There should be no questions after this.
Okay. Maybe.
Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor.
You waited patiently for Mr. Higgins.
Sorry. No problem. Richard, the parking complaint we had last meeting, I think it was on Yeoman's Ave, the resident. Did you get any information on that since? Have you talked to the person?
I left a message. Not the resident, no.
No?
I left a message with the police department.
Okay.
And I'm waiting to hear back from that.
All right. I would believe we ought to start obtaining proposals for professional services for 2011, because we don't want to do things last minute, you know. Plus, it's election year, and we could have some different people here, members. So we can start doing that. What I have down here, I have seven of them. I've got the attorney, the engineer, prosecutor. Well, prosecutor we might not have to do, correct?
Correct.
Tax assessor?
No.
Okay. Risk assessment?
No.
No? Auditor?
Yes.
Public defender?
Yes.
I don't know.
But you also missed wastewater engineers. It's engineer slash municipal engineer slash wastewater engineer.
That's fine. All right.
I don't think that this council could act on any of the proposals, though, Mr. Boyle. You're just talking about going out and getting the proposals.
Get them ready to get going.
Because,
I mean, when we came on, we were on the sidelines listening to a lot of stuff, and then it came to vote, and, you know,
yeah,
we were just coming into it.
Right.
I'm not acting on anything.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm talking about. I just wanted to make sure that's where you were.
What I was planning on doing is, after the budget is adopted, if we hear back from the state, hopefully within the next month, my expectations will be able to have our budget adopted in September, and then pretty much a couple of weeks thereafter, we start on 2011 anyway. So it's all part of the 2011 budget process.
So maybe mid-September?
Yeah. I mean, what I'd want to find out then is, if council wants to let me know by next meeting, non-fair and open or fair and open process for which, like we did last time. You know what I mean? Tell me which ones you want to do, which ones you don't, and I can just do it that way.
Oh, you mean which appointments?
No. What process?
Oh, what
you
process?
Do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fair and open means they can't contribute, right?
No.
Right. Fair and open.
Fair and open. No. Fair and open, you can. Non-fair and open, you can't.
Correct.
Fair and open, you can. Non-fair and open, you can't.
Only our legislature could come up with that type of situation.
Mayor, are we going into executive tonight? Do we have to go into
executive? I don't believe we have anything.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to allow our municipal manager to take over the reins of park director until January 1, 2011, because we're running the park recreation committee, or recreation director, excuse me, take that back. Because we don't have anybody there, and that's what our ordinance requires, to have a recreation director. And we don't have anybody.
Since the day Gary stepped down, I've been the acting director.
Right. So
you're memorializing.
Memorializing, which would require you to attend the meetings and hold meetings and stuff like that. Richard, you have to.
Second.
The committee, it's been second.
Okay, any discussion?
Richard.
you have to,
Richard. I mean,
I think we do need an executive session then, the first time.
Well, if it opens the dialogue so we can talk openly, then I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So I'd make a motion to go in an executive session.
Is there anyone on the floor?
Is there one on the floor?
I would say withdraw your motion and second for the time being that you just made, and then we can go do the resolution for the executive session.
Okay.
I withdraw then.
Okay. Mr. Higgins, you concur?
Okay. Sure. And then we would authorize resolution 146-2010 for personnel matters. Correct?
Mm-hmm. I make that motion to go to executive session for personnel matters.
Thank you.
Any discussion on that?
After 5 minutes?
After a 5-minute break, that would be fine.